Okay, your risus pascalis, or Easter joke. It's a grammar lesson. Which is correct? Complete, finished, or completely finished? Actually, no English dictionary has been able to adequately explain the difference. But there was a recent linguistic competition in London attended by the best scholars in the whole world, at which point a Guyanese man by the name of Samdar Balgobin was the winner with this response. He received actually a standing ovation that lasted over 5 minutes. The question was, how do you explain the difference between complete and finished in a way that's easy and simple to understand? His response, when you marry the right woman, you're complete. When you marry the wrong woman, you're finished. And when you marry when the right one catches you with the wrong one, you are completely finished. First, I've always felt somewhat sorry for Thomas. He gets stuck with that awful nickname, Doubting Thomas, or the Doubter. True, he probably was the all-star stubborn mule of the apostles, but which one of us hasn't been stubborn from time to time? Father Oswald. Except for me, of course. Now, that's just my opinion, my humble opinion, my humble but correct opinion. And which one of us has not missed a gathering of a group that we should have been at? And which one of us has not put on a show-me stance at some point or another? But that's really not the whole point. The point of today's gospel is that the risen Christ is met in the wounds. Thomas could not believe that Jesus could actually make something good out of that awful Friday. He couldn't believe that resurrection actually could occur. And so he was stuck at the wounds and could not see beyond them. He couldn't go any further to recognize in them nothing less than the salvation of the world. And yet that is basically the way so many of us often end up experiencing life. We all get hurt, disappointed, because life is unfair. Life's unkind. Things do not work out as we plan them. None of us ever could have imagined that the mighty American economy would be befelled by a virus. And so it's easy for us to want to cling to the past, to hold on what we had, and then be stuck at the wounds, and fail to see the risen Lord who comes to us always with the grace of resurrection. He's always there behind life's failures and disappointments, sin, and even pandemics. And unfortunately, this is what happened to Doubting Thomas. He was a wounded man. He was broken by that botched up Friday, cowering before the cross, intimidated by that young Nazarene teacher. And after that awful Friday, everybody expected him to believe that it was all okay. Christ risen from the dead, that wounds are a sign of new life. And he simply refused. He stuck. He doubted that anybody could do this. So he was going to poke his fingers through the holes and stick his hands in the side. In other words, he was going to stay right where he was, not budge one inch. He's not going to be into all this resurrection and new life, new beginnings jazz. He's nonplussed. He doubts that it could happen, and he's not going to believe it, because it's much easier for him to stay where he was. Yeah, it was painful, but he knew the pain. He was already living with it, and so he made up all kinds of excuses to hope that all this new life stuff and Holy Spirit business would just die away, and he could go back to his old life before he met this thin rabbi from Nazareth who came raging into his life. Second, this is the experience of all of us from time to time. Unfortunately, for some people, it's an experience of a lifetime. We can feel that life's simply been too difficult. We've been too hurt, too wounded, too disappointed. And then we just give up. We stay right where we are, because we've had to go through all of this terrible things. My mother or father is an alcoholic. Life's been too big a headache. I can't go any farther. Life is too unfair. My marriage is lousy. I gave my whole self and all of my hopes and dreams over to this other person I loved, and they've hurt me so deeply. I'm not going to get over it. It's simply too hard. I'm not going to be the one to make the first move to try to actually fix this. Or my marriage failed. I gave it my all, but they walked out and left me for another. I'll never get involved again. It's too painful. And I'm not going to have friends either. Just count me out. I didn't get the job I wanted. I didn't get the breaks that I really deserve. So I'm bitter and angry. And I'm not going to change. I've never gotten the recognition I deserve. I'm still not a Monsignor. Can you believe that? I'll never forgive the four bishops who have passed me over. My children disappointed me. After all I've done for them, it's their turn to make a move. I'll never forget what they did. This virus, this has finished me. I'm too old to go any further. My retirement's shot, my job's gone, my portfolio's a disaster. I'm never, ever gonna get over this. My friend hurt me so deeply, I'll never forgive them. I'll never trust them again. I'll never allow anybody to get that close to me again. My church changed. The parish changed. The only pastor I ever liked is gone, and now we have this three-point bozo. The church teaches things I don't agree with. You call that a loving community? I'll never get involved again. I'm not going to contribute until they do it my way. I may change churches or just drop out altogether. It's easier to be in your PJs on Sunday morning than having to get up and go get dressed for Mass. It's the experience of Thomas clinging to wounds, grabbing onto the gash, loving the bruise, clasping the pain, refusing to let go. But sometimes somebody just needs to grab us by the collar and tell us, get over it and get over yourself. Third, there is this great, rich significance in the wounds of life. They have the power to be transformed. They actually can become marks of glory. And they are always, always invitations to new life, fuller life. The human experience is that everybody gets hurt, everybody gets wounded. This is an equal opportunity world for getting punched around. None of us wanted to be quarantined for months, to lose jobs, watch portfolios crash, find ourselves wondering when or if is this ever going to end. But wounds and suffering and pain are all part of human living. We so easily forget that the one symbol which distills all that Christianity means is right there, the corpse on the cross. A body as broken as they come, and probably more broken than any one of us who's participating in this Mass today. The reality is we all have to grow up and get on with life. We need to understand that the power of Christ can transform the broken things of our world. People who fail courses can become tutors to help others be successful. The beautiful support system and wise spiritual teaching of Alcoholics Anonymous was born in pain and suffering and wounds. People who work very hard to heal struggling marriages end up with far better marriages on the other side. And people who move on from marriages that collapsed can be immensely more sensitive to the needs and struggles of others, and they can be better spouses another time around. There are lots of things to be learned, lots of gifts to be received, even in the midst of a pandemic. things like true values, deeper appreciation of family, a simpler lifestyle, realigned priorities. A church that speaks a difficult and unpopular truth can be a church that's proclaiming a gospel challenge that will take us to new levels of growth and maturity and holiness. People who forgive life, children, parents, spouses, co-workers, friends, church, come to know the joy of real reconciliation and something more of the deep love of God and the Easter promise of a new beginning of goodness. There's actually a breakthrough here. It is totally amazing grace. The Thomas who was struck by the cross became the Thomas of the resurrected Christ. The Thomas who was too disappointed to move on from Good Friday was the Thomas who eventually would lay down his life because of the power of Easter Sunday. Thomas finally grew up and became an adult disciple when he saw the wounds for what they were, the promise of new life, an invitation to glory. The wounds of death can be transformed into marks of new life, which is true for all of us. We touch our own wounds. We experience our own brokenness. We have to admit our inadequacies and hurts. And Jesus calls us to see beyond them, to move on. Touch my hands and my side. Touch my wounds. Do not persist in unbelief, but believe. Amen.